If you'll head over to the 28th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. So tonight, our lesson is part three of the series that we've been doing on the Church of Christ, or what it means to be the Church of Jesus Christ. And our title, our topic for tonight is that the Church of Jesus Christ is a mission-minded church. That's a mission-minded church. Part one of the series explained that the church is meant to be a Bible-believing church, which means that we not only believe the Bible, that we study the Word of God, that we know the Word of God, but that we see it as the ultimate authority, true authority, and the Word of God Almighty inerrant. The second thing, the second part of our series, part two, described the church as a praying church, which means that we are to be a people which believe in the power of God, that believe in the promises that He's made, and that we understand and are grateful that we have access to Almighty God. Well, tonight we are focused on being mission-minded, and we're going to talk about what that means. But before we do, pray with me, if you would, for the message, and then we'll get right into this. Father God, we come to you tonight to first and foremost thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done and who you are, Father. We thank you for the blood that was spent for us on Calvary. Lord, we thank you for our salvation, Father. We thank you for our church family, Father, for the people that you've put into our lives. Lord, we thank you that you have allowed us to be used as part of your plan, Father, that we could be part of the work that is being done, that sinners would come to you, Lord, that they would repent and be reconciled back to God. Father, we thank you that you've made us a part of that work. Lord, we pray tonight for the message. Father, help me to speak clearly, to think clearly, Father, that your word would be heard. Father, let it be a word that we can apply to our lives and use daily, Father. Let it be something which transforms the way we see ourselves, the way in which we transform the way in which we think about the purpose of the church and what our goals are, that we would be mission-minded, Father, all to your glory. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. So if you're not there yet, please turn to Matthew. We're going to go to chapter 28. We're going to go to the end of chapter 28 in Matthew. And you probably know where we're going already, being that we're in the 28th chapter of Matthew and we're talking about being mission-minded. That's right. We're going to go take a look at the Great Commission. So if you would, please go down to verse 18. We're going to read verses 18 through 20 there in Matthew chapter 28. It says, "And Jesus came, and he spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So here we have what is known commonly as the Great Commission, right? And this is important for us to take a look at. I want us to understand something here tonight. The Great Commission is called the Great Commission because it is the primary purpose of the church. It is our primary mission. It is that which everything that the church is called to do, all of the different facets of our charge, of our responsibilities for the grace that God has given us, those things which should be prevalent in our lives, it all funnels down into the fulfilling of the Great Commission. That is our primary purpose in all that we do. And I'm going to hopefully I'll do well in trying to bring this to light tonight. Now, I told you when I first came here, I don't remember how long it was after I got here, but we had a message about what the church's roles are, right? There were three things that we talked about, and this came out of the fourth chapter of Ephesians, right? We talk about the perfecting of the saints, right? The ministry of charity, and we talked about the edification of the body of believers. Right? Those are the three roles that I said the church is to have. That comes right out of Ephesians. It tells us what we're to be doing as a church. But all three of these things, they come down for one purpose that we do these roles: to fulfill the Great Commission, For there is no higher calling and no higher purpose than to call sinners to repent and to be reconciled back to Almighty God. That is what it means to give the gospel message. Folks, if we're not accomplishing that, then we are beating against the wind, as Paul says. We are spinning our wheels. We're not accomplishing much. All of the fellowship, all of the love that we show to the community, all of the good things that we do, all of the Bible knowledge that we have is worthless if we are not bringing people to the throne of grace where they might drink of the well of grace that God has made possible. It's all for nothing if we're not doing that. If we're not doing that, it's all for nothing, folks. I want to read this to you for a moment here. Go with me. Well, you know what? You don't have to go there because we're going to hop out of it here in just a second. I'll read it for you, though. Ephesians chapter 4, where we get this at, is in verse 12, and I just told you it's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that is the verse that I cited for you a moment ago, and it's often cited as being, like I said, the roles of the church. But so often, it stops at verse 12, and we don't explain the why. Verse 13 explains the why. That's the wonderful thing about the Word of God. If we just read it and we finish out what it says, it explains everything that's in there. There's nothing in the Word of God that it tells you to do and doesn't explain. Go with me to verse 13 now. Verse 13 says this, right after we see the three primary roles of the church, it says, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, here obviously he's talking to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians, right? And he's telling them what they're to be doing. And then he tells them why they're to be doing it. Why they're to be doing it. And he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Obviously he's speaking to the church, right? And what they're to be, what they're to do. But none of that happens until they become the church. All right, we can't come in the knowledge of the Son of God. We can't come in the unity of the faith until we come to knowledge of Christ, until we repent of our sin. You see, it all comes back to us drawing sinners back to God. And that is the point from which life follows. And that is the point from which our life begins to change. Now, you may be thinking at this point, well, preacher, that sounds good. I agree with everything that you're saying. But I commonly see a misconception, if you will, a false ideology that I believe that we mean well, but far too often we're missing something. I think we're missing something as a church worldwide, as the people of Christ, right? And here's what that is that we're missing. We are missing our primary purpose, right? We often think that when it comes to missions, our role is one of two things. Either one, we think that we're called to be go to be go horrible. We think that we're called to go and be missionaries. You know, so we'll go overseas or something like that to go somewhere. Or we think that, well, if I don't feel that I'm at a place where God wants me to go be a missionary, if that's not the call I feel on my life, or I'm not in a position to do that, then my role is simply to support missionaries, right? And these things are good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's not the thing we're supposed to do, because it is. But there's more to it. It doesn't stop there, folks. It's not as simple as be a missionary or support missionaries. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. That is but a part of the whole picture that I think we are missing too often. And that brings me to the bulk, the real message for tonight. I'll give you what the point is that I want us all to grasp from tonight, and then we're going to expound upon this. So that point is, every single believer is a missionary. Every single one of us. I'm going to talk about that tonight and explain what that looks like and how we're missionaries. Even though you may not be overseas or in a foreign land or in a place that God has called you away from, right? Even though you may not believe it or you may not see it in your life, I assure you, if you are a believer, if you are washed of your sin by the blood of Christ, then you have the Great Commission upon your heart. It has been given unto you. It is your mission, and therefore you are a missionary. Now, whether or not we are fulfilling that mission purposely in our lives, that's a whole other matter. But the fact remains that if you are a believer in God, if you are one of His chosen people, if you're saved, folks, you are a missionary. Come with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to start this off tonight here. It's 2 Corinthians. We're going to go to chapter 5. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Come with me down to verse 17. We're going to read verses 17 and 18. 17 and 18. And we'll see where we're going with this. Well-known verse. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation." And I want to talk about that last part there. "Hath given us to the ministry of reconciliation." And we need to break this down for just a moment here. The Bible explains here that when we come to Christ, we make Him the Lord of our lives. We also get Him not only as Lord, but as Savior at that time. You've heard me say, if you're a frequent attender here, you've heard me say that you can't have Him as Savior and not as Lord. It's a package deal. You come to Him first as Lord and you get Him as Savior, right? Now, that being said, the old us passes away. The former things are gone. Where we used to stand guilty of our sin, it's all washed. The sins are separated from us. The sins which separate us from holy God are now gone. And we stand before God now righteous. We stand before God clean, not of our own righteousness, but we are wrapped, we are cloaked in the righteousness of Christ. Now, what does this have to do with our message tonight? What it has to do is that in verse 18, it says that we are called to the ministry of reconciliation. Come down to verse 19, and it's going to expound upon that a little bit, all right? It says that, "as given to us the ministry of reconciliation," 19, "to wit," or to the purpose, "to witness, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So let's break down what that means, okay? Verse 19 there is really an amazing verse, because there in a single verse you have the entire gospel. Do you realize that? Take a close look at it. It gives you the entire gospel in one verse. So let's look at it like this. First of all, it describes what's been done. Reconciliation of man back to God. Then it describes who did it. God was reconciling us. It explains how He did it. Jesus Christ. It explains to what effect it had, by not imputing our trespasses unto us, or unto them, as it says. So we see that God has reconciled man, sinners, back to Him through Jesus Christ, and because of Jesus Christ, our sins and our trespasses are not imputed unto us. Instead, we have the righteousness of Christ. So you see, there in 19, verse 19, we have the entire gospel message in a single verse. But that gospel message there in 19 is explaining what it means there when it says, "given to us the ministry of reconciliation," in verse 18. It says the purpose for which we've been given that. What is it talking about? It's saying that now that you have been changed, now that you've been saved, you are now charged with that ministry of giving that word. 19, we are to be witnesses that God was in Christ, that He was reconciling the world back to Him. That is our purpose. Now, I want to talk about this just for a second here. Many people like to stop at the point of salvation, okay? Many people like to get to that point, and they say, "okay, I'm good to go. My ticket is punched. I've been saved by the blood of Christ, praise the Lord," and that's as far as their relationship goes, and they miss it. They miss it. And what they've missed is that they are not being able to fulfill. They're not able to fulfill the work that God has given us in the Great Commission, because they don't understand what their purpose is in their life now that they've been saved. You see, God tells us that the purpose of man is to glorify Almighty God. That is why we are here. Amen. Amen. That's why we're here, to glorify God. Now, when we are saved, when that sin's washed away and we're reunited with Him, how do we do that? How do we glorify God? By telling people of the good news of Christ, that we would have our part to play in the reconciling of them. Now, no, it's not us that reconciles them to God, but it's on us to give the ministry, to give the gospel, that God does His work in them. That's the part that we're to play. Too often we think, well, that's not me. I go to church and I just give money to the missionaries. Or we think that I'm not called to be a full-time ministry worker. I'm not called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be an evangelist. I'm not called to be a missionary, to go overseas. Folks, all of those things are good and well. But every single believer in this room, I'm trying to drive this home tonight. You are a missionary to every soul that you cross every moment of your life. And you are the one who decides whether or not you're going to give that gospel to them. Is it going to be taken well? No. Take a look at Jesus' life. Was Jesus accepted and well-liked by the people around him? No. It says he came into his own and his own, they didn't want him at all. They got rid of him, right? He was rejected by the entire world. Here's something that I want us to do, folks. This is my desire for the hearts of every single person in this local church here at Bluestone, and more so for the church worldwide, for God's people, that we would have upon our hearts a desire and a love for every man, that when we walk by somebody, we don't simply see a person, a stranger, another person I don't know, but instead we would see in them a soul. A soul that if they do not know God will spend eternity in hell. It will change the way you see people. It will change the way you see the world and the way you live your life, the purpose that you have for your life. When you go to the restaurant and that person comes by, that man or that woman, and they take your order, don't just see them as the boy or the girl or the guy that's taking your food. Think that that person tonight is going to go home and they may not make it. You had a chance to share the gospel. You say, well, they don't want to hear that. They're going to get tired of seeing me and me giving them a Bible track or telling them about Jesus. I'm going to be seen as that religious nut, that fanatic. My friends, was Jesus too fanatical for you? Did he spend too much time? Was his life a life where you think to yourself that you're going to look at him and say, God, I'm sorry, you know, I didn't want to seem like that weird religious crazy guy who's always talking about Jesus all the time. I'm sorry I didn't, when I went to the gas station to pay my bill for gas, I'm sorry I didn't talk to them about Christ. I didn't give you the gospel. Why? I don't know them, just some person I paid. That person you paid may die that night. We are to be mission-minded. That is the purpose of our lives. What gives more glory to God than telling of His praises and the things that He's done for you and in your life, the changes that He's made, the salvation that's been made possible? That's what it means to be a mission-minded church. Not just to sit in these pews and come hear someone else preach about it, and then we go about our lives and say, well, I tithed, I gave my money to missionaries, we voted and we've taken on a new missionary. You're a missionary. Every place that you go, every person that you meet is an opportunity to give that gospel message. Is it comfortable? No. Is it always going to turn out the way you want? Are you going to see people just immediately fall on their knees and come to Christ all the time? That'd be great, but unfortunately, in my experience, that's the rare case. But my friends, we're told to plant the seed. The Great Commission is a mission that's given to us by our captain, and our captain is Christ. My question for you is, can you say that you are living a life that is mission-minded? Do you fulfill it? Is it the desire of your heart? Do you have a love for God that bursts forth from your heart that you can't help but talk about Him? Do you remember when you first came to salvation? How you couldn't get enough of the Word of God in your life? How you couldn't stop talking about Him? I do. I pray that fire never goes out. I pray that it never goes out. I won't lie. There's times when that fire is an inferno, and there's times whenever it's just flickering in my life. And I'm always trying to keep that fire stoked. Friends, we have a call for God. I want to take you now and look at something else. At the point that we come to Almighty God and we're forgiven for our sin, we no longer have to worry about the judgment of God for sins. We become children of God, but not only children of God, we become ambassadors. Ambassadors. Let me take you to the scripture here so you know this isn't my word but God's word, because that's what matters, right? Come with me to 2 Corinthians. We're already there. You're already in chapter 5. Hop on down to verse 20. Read verse 20 and 21 with me. 20 and 21. It says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." Now, catch this. I'm going to give you the definition of ambassador in a moment, but I want you to see what the Bible says about being an ambassador. It explains exactly what that means and what's expected of you, not just what God thinks would be nice. This is God's expectation for the believer. "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In other words, when we become ambassadors of Christ, we represent him. We are coming to people, giving the gospel on Christ's behalf. The term ambassador, I'll give you the textbook definition. It says, "An accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country." What's the country that we're being sent from? The kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom that we're representatives of. Who do we represent in the kingdom of heaven? Almighty God, Christ Jesus, the head of the church, the one whom we follow, our great shepherd. Who is the foreign land? Folks, you're in it. This is the foreign land. This is not our home. Every single person that you meet is a citizen of the world, and if they don't know Christ, that's where they'll die and they'll continue for eternity. We are called to be ambassadors. Now, we know this. You guys have heard these verses. You've heard these scriptures. I've heard these scriptures, but I was convicted, and God put it on my heart to ask you a question that God asked me. Where are my ambassadors? Where are my ambassadors? If you have God, if he saved you from the cost of your sin, can you say with all surety, "Yes, Lord, I'm living a mission-minded life. I am your ambassador. It is my purpose in what I do. I take every opportunity, putting my pride aside, putting what people think of me aside, because my goal is to give the gospel, to fulfill the mission that's been given." I'd like to say that that's what I do day in and day out all the time, and I try to, but folks, I have to humbly tell you that there are times in my life when I have felt the pull of God on my heart to say something to somebody, and for one reason or another, I've been a coward. And that's what we are when we don't fulfill that mission. There have been times in my life when I've seen somebody, and I've just wanted to stop and say, "Hey, I need to tell you about Christ." And for whatever reason, it's always something. They're on the phone, or they don't have time right now, or it's just someone I saw there on the street with a sign in their hand, and I'm driving by, I don't have time for that. But it convicts me because I think to myself, the devil doesn't put it on your heart to tell people about Jesus. And so if you even had a thought of it, God was asking you. God was calling you right then. And you missed it. I've missed it too many times. I don't want to miss it anymore. I want my life to be mission-minded. I want the church's life to be mission-minded, folks. That's what we're called to do. Is it comfortable? No, it's not. Is it difficult to find those words? Do you need to be a theologian? You don't need to be a theologian. Verse 19 did it in one sentence. Gave the gospel. You don't have to convince them. You just have to tell them. You just have to tell them, folks. I hope that you see what they're trying to say here in verses 20 and 21. They are coming to the church at Corinth, and those that are speaking here, this is Paul, he's speaking to the church at Corinth, and he's coming to the people there as ambassadors for Christ. He is Christ's accredited official representative. Notice that the next part of the verse explains, "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, that ye be reconciled to God." That is the plea of the heart of the missionary. They go to people and they say, we pray that you be reconciled to God. And there's only one way to do that. Through Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. These men come with the authority of God. Brothers and sisters, today I hope you are beginning to understand if you haven't grasped this already. You have the authority of God Almighty to tell the gospel message and to share with them the promises of God. You can make promises to them from God because God has made the promise. You can tell them what God has promised them. You have the authority to share that promise with them. It's on them to accept it. It's on them to take God up on His word. My friends, God does not give His authority lightly. He's given you the authority to go and tell people the promise that He's made to the world, the price that's been paid, the sacrifice that's been given. Don't leave it at the doorstep when you walk out each day. Don't leave it sitting on the coffee table with your Bible when you go out into the world. When you go to the workplace, every single one of you, I would wager without knowing, I would wager that every single one of you can think of somebody who you work with, have worked with, see on a daily or very common basis, all the time, and you could probably think to yourself, I don't know if they know Jesus. And you can probably be, if you're honest with yourself, you may find yourself in the same position that I found myself in. God, how many times are you going to give me an opportunity to give the gospel? And God, how many times am I going to let it go? Why? You're worried about what they'll say, how it'll affect your relationship, how it'll affect your the way you're looked at work? Why don't you be more worried about the way God's looking right now when He looks down and says, where are my ambassadors? How many people in this community, in our small community, Jumping Branch, Nimitz, Hinton, that small community of maybe what, total 2,500 people-ish? How many people and how many churches are in there day in and day out and claim the name of Christ? They claim the title of Christian. How many of them do you think are sharing? How many of us are sharing the gospel with the people that we meet day in and day out? It's a question, one that we have to take a good hard look at. This is what it means to be mission-minded. Folks, you are a missionary in the place that you are. And I've said something many times from the pulpit that parents, you are missionaries to your children. You are the first missionaries. I've said this so many times, and it's so true. You're the first missionary those children are ever going to meet. You're the first person that has the opportunity to tell them about God, the first person to show them God's love. And you know, I don't think that God puts us into positions at work, at school, by happenstance. Where you are is where God wants you to be, and it's where He's called you. There are ambassadors all around us. I wonder how many of us are representing Christ. Not just with our lives, of course I mean that, but I mean how many of us are giving that gospel out when we walk by somebody? How many of us have that on our mind instead of what I'm in the middle of or what I've got to do or what they've got going on, how busy my life is and when and if it's going to be accepted or how they're going to take that? Are you worried about you and your life and what's going on, or are you worried about the work that God's given us to do? It's a question that we need to ask ourselves and be honest enough to answer. I hope that you understand the vital role that we've been given, the honor that we've been given in reconciling the world back to God. A few things before we close out. It's been said that when we give the gospel, it's a simple matter of one beggar showing another beggar where he found bread. And this bread is not just bread that will sustain you for the moment. This is the bread of life. We're talking about the body of Christ, right? Jesus said that I am the bread of life. That's the bread that we're talking about. The question that I want to ask our church today, our church family here at Bluestone, things that each one of us is going to have to think on, that I hope that we're thinking on, three questions. One, are we a mission-minded church? Do our lives reflect a mission-minded life? And are our priorities mission-minded? Because the Church of Jesus Christ is mission-minded. We've got a goal to serve the Father, to complete the work that He gave us to do. Now, let me read what I put here because I don't want to mess this up. I don't want to skip something here, forget to say something. The reason that I bring this message up is because Christians today seem so focused on doing good, on doing the right thing. We are trying to please God, and that is a good thing. Don't misunderstand me here, all right? We're doing all of the things that we're supposed to do. But folks, let me give you an illustration here. How many here are parents? Right? We got some parents in the room, right? I didn't see every hand. Who here has been a child? Who here's had parents, right? Yeah, now we got everybody. Okay, so how many of you, parents I'm talking to, how many of you have ever told your child to do something and you left and you come back and they didn't do it? You're all like, never, never. My family's perfect. My child wouldn't dare, would you? Right? No, that's not how it goes, right? We all have those times whenever we tell the kids to do something, we come back and they didn't do it. Here's what I see Christians doing, all right? Their father tells them to do something. He goes, he comes back from work, right? And when he comes back, he says, hey, what have you been up to today? So let's say that he told them to mow the lawn, all right? This is an illustration that a friend of mine used, and he nails it, so we're going to use it, all right? It's great, it's great. It's not copyrighted. So he says, mow the lawn. He comes back, and he goes, notices that the lawn's not mowed. When he gets inside, he sees his kid, and he goes, hey, what have you been up to today? Oh, Dad, come on, I want to show you all the stuff I did. Come here. Check this out. Look in the garage. The garage has been organized, swept clean. All the boxes are put into alphabetical order, and they've been color-coded, and everything is like, it's my wife's dream, okay? Everything is neat, all right? Then he says, oh, that's not all I did. That's not all. Come here, check this out. My room's been cleaned up. Yes, Dad, I even got underneath the bed and got all that stuff I like to hide out. It's all out of there. The room's clean, right? You're thinking, nice, very nice. And he says, oh, come here, I want to show you something else. I've been busy today. Goes outside and says, look at all the animals. They've all been fed. I milked the cows, Dad. I slopped the hogs. I did everything. I mean, it's all done. Finally, his father looks at him and he goes, son, don't get me wrong, that's all great. What I tell you to do, mow the lawn. Did you mow the lawn? Well, no, but look at all the good stuff I did. That's what we do as Christians. I'm afraid that one day we're going to stand before God, each and every one of us. And I'm not talking about for sins. Those are washed away if you're a believer, if you have Christ, and I hope that you are. But we're still going to stand before God and give an account of the things that we did in the body. And I have a feeling that there's going to be so many Christians that are standing there going, yeah, I gave money to the poor, and I fed the hungry, and you know, we used to do charity drives, and we supported missions, and we did community events, and you know, we did all this stuff, all this good stuff, and that's great. But in the end, he's going to come down, and he's going to look at us, and he's going to say, what did I tell you to do? All those things are great, but what was the main thing? What was the Great Commission? What was that one goal that it was all to be done for? To bear witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he's done. I fear that there's too many of us that are trying to do good to please God, which don't misunderstand me, folks. That's a good thing, okay? I'm not saying that that's not what we should be doing, because it is. But more so, the reason that we're doing it, we should be focused on being mission-minded and fulfilling the Great Commission. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day that I get up there. I'm home. I'm in Beulah land, right? I'm with the Lord. I can't wait. I'm just praying to God. I don't know that it will happen yet, but I'm really hoping that I'll see just one person that I can see and know that I gave them the gospel. That would make my life here worth everything. I'll be covered in sadness and shame if I get up there and I can't say there's one person there who I know I gave the gospel to. But if I can see just one, that means I made an eternity of difference for that one person. And not I, but God through me did it. Can you say the same today? Is your life focused on that? If it's not, I pray that it would be. Today, I'd like to ask you in closing if you've been reconciled to God, if someone has shared the gospel message with you, if you can say that your sins have been washed away, that that separation that kept you from the Lord has been removed, that you now stand with the righteousness of Christ. If you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and if you have, then I ask you if you are mission-minded. If not, I pray that you would be, that you'd maybe take a second look at your life and what's important to you and the opportunities that God's put in your path, that maybe you would, maybe for the first time, see that these are opportunities that ought not be passed by. If ever you don't know Jesus Christ, if maybe you've heard the message many times, but you haven't ever come to Christ, if you haven't taken Him as Lord and therefore gained Him as Savior, then in a moment as the congregation plays, as we sing together, it's a time of invitation for you to come down, and I'll stand here with the Word of God and show you how you can know that heaven is your home. And as always, if you're embarrassed or you're shy, that's fine. My office is right there. I'll be there for a short time after the service. If you say, well, you know what? God is pulling on my heart, and I want to talk about these things, but I just don't have time right now. I encourage you to make time. There's nothing more pressing. And if you can't, my phone number is on the wall to the right as you leave the church this evening. Call me, and I will make time. As the congregation sings, I invite you to come.